Well, greetings, everyone. Thanks again for watching this week, and I hope and pray that you'll be encouraged by this portion of God's Word that we'll dig into in a little bit. And along with Pastor Dave's greeting earlier, I extend my greeting to you also, especially those of you who are guests or maybe returning for the first few times. Thanks so much for getting back with us today. Let me pray today, and then we'll study the Word together. And I would encourage you to use this time of prayer to pray, obviously, what's happening in our communities, in our nation, and especially praying for frontline workers and for God's work in the midst of everything that's going on. So let's bow for prayer. God, we thank you that we can call upon you at any time. And so we gather together now and call upon your name in thanksgiving for who you are and the fact that we can stand upon you as our bedrock and as our fortress. So as we come to your word today, I pray that you would teach us and encourage us and that our hearts would be turned back to worshiping you. And God, we also pray for people in our society, frontline workers, and ask for your strength and your compassion in their lives as they look to you to give them what they need in this stressful time. So we call upon your name for them and, Lord, for your work to bring an end to this virus and an end, Lord, to this time. But we trust you in the midst of it that you are working. So we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's go to our scriptures for today. And let me just prompt our thinking with this. I don't know what you worry about, but sometimes as a pastor, I worry that my sermons will be, I want them to be faithful and clear and relevant. And while this past week I did worry about my sermon preparation because there was a lot to pull together, I'm not at all worried that this sermon is going to be applicable and relevant. Not because it's me preaching, but because of the topic that we're going to cover today. And the topic we're going to cover today is about fear and anxiety. Does that sound familiar at all? You think about our society and everything that's happening. This has been a time of great fear. It has been a time of panic. It's been a time of anxiety for so many people. And even as you look at some of the news out there, there's some projections that things like depression and addiction and suicide are on the rise and even will rise even more because of especially people who are frontline workers in really hot spot areas for this virus, but also some of the extreme isolation that people are going through. It's not healthy, and so it can really spiral out of control. So it doesn't take a genius to name the problem about fear and anxiety, but it does take a savior to provide lasting solutions. And so right from the very beginning today, I want to just proclaim that we're going to study from the words of Jesus, and Jesus has the answers to help us through times of fear, panic, anxiety, whatever we might be feeling. Help is here, and help's name is Jesus. And so the teaching that we're going to study today by Jesus will help us to calm our fears, to de-escalate our panic, and to ease our anxiety. So here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to pick one or two of the anxieties that are at the foremost of your mind and your heart right now. It probably won't take much to grab a hold of those. Have you got it? Grab hold of those. And I want you to do this. Imagine yourself sort of snuggling up with that fear or anxiety. And as you snuggle up with that fear or anxiety, you're sitting at the feet of Jesus. And then as you hear his words, I want you to kind of glance over from time to time at this fear and anxiety and notice if it isn't just sort of dissolving and getting smaller because it's being brought into proper perspective. So our passage today is Luke chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. And 22 through 32. And I'm going to have some guest readers read the scriptures before each of my points. And so Jared and Lindsay Shoemaker will be reading the scripture for today. So let's listen first of all to Jared as he reads from Luke 12, verses 4 through 7.
I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear the one who, after he has killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 cents? Yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows.
All right, thank you so much, Jared. Let's dig in here together now. Today's message is called Confidence in Christ's Provision, and we're going to talk about 3 mindsets to dissolve fear and worry. Here's the first one. Fear and anxiety dissolve when I fear God alone. That's the first mindset we're to have, is to fear God alone. If you look there in verse 4, you notice that Jesus first addresses his disciples as my friends. It's interesting here. You have this mix of Jesus' authoritative teaching about the Almighty God who sees all things and nothing is hidden from his sight. And then Jesus turns to his disciples and says, you are my friends. And then he gives them further insight into this. This is tenderness. This is Jesus giving comfort to his disciples and giving them some inside teaching. So how about you? Would Jesus call you his friend? Have you trusted him by faith? Are you a follower of Jesus, a friend of Jesus, because of saving faith in his name? Well, this teaching that he gives to us applies to those who are following him. And I want to encourage you, if you're watching and you're not following Jesus yet, I pray that you will, that you put your faith in him and begin to follow him so that this teaching can have even more weight in your life. So he says, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body. In this particular context, Jesus has been speaking about the Pharisees. And then a little bit later in verses 8 and 9, he talks about going out to share the gospel and representing his name before people, before the general public. And so there's here the danger of shrinking back from following God by being fearful of people. But Jesus is saying, don't fear people, don't fear anything, fear God alone. I don't know about you, but what fears you have in your life? Maybe you fear an angry father or a harsh mother or a sort of an unruly boss. Maybe you fear a government takeover. Maybe you fear an invisible virus that can do a lot of harm to us physically. But Jesus is saying, don't fear these things. Why? Because they have no more that they can do, he says. They can only kill the body. They can't kill the soul. So then that moves us on to saying in verse 5, Jesus says, I'll warn you or I will show you whom you should fear. Don't fear anyone but God. The word fear, the fear of God, is sort of 2 sides of one coin. First of all, it has the meaning of having a deep respect, a deep honor and reverence for God. On the second part of it, I think what's very appropriate in the presence of God is a holy fright. God is the one who is absolutely holy. He's the Almighty. He is the Most High. And so because he is so much more powerful than we are, he's eternal, we are to have a fear of God. And that type of fear should not be given to anyone else but God alone. Why not? Well, Jesus says, after he has killed, so God has the power over life and death, he is the one who can cast into hell. And Jesus emphasizes what he previously said, once again at the end of verse 5, and he says, yes, I am saying to you, have fear of this one. There, again, emphasis, fear God alone. You know, people and circumstances can end our earthly life, but they have no authority over our eternity. God is our creator, and God is the judge of our souls. And so he alone deserves fear. We'll return to that thought in just a moment. But you see this contrast here, fear God only because he can cast into hell. But then you have these words of comfort. The God to fear is the God who cares. Now verse 6, he uses this illustration of the sparrow, the number of hairs on the head, and he says that God knows everything about you. 5 sparrows are sold for 2 pennies, he says. And yet God does not forget any one of those. He doesn't neglect any one of those sparrows. He also says the hairs of your head are all numbered. Now I looked it up this week, and the average human head has 100,000 hair follicles. Now, I know what you're thinking. Even though we're not together, I can hear you giggling. I think what's so cool about this is that God even knows the number of hairs that could potentially grow on your head, just like me. That's how much he knows about us. I love this illustration because I was talking to Joni Riley one time. She's a woman in our church. She's a cosmetologist. And so she said this. She said, the number of hairs on our head is constantly changing. So isn't that a great thought? That at any given moment, with the changing number of hairs on our head, God knows the exact number at any given time. What this speaks of is God's care and his involvement in our lives. That yes, he's the one who is powerful to command life and death for eternity, but he's also the one who cares so very much about his creation. That's a comforting thought. Jesus returns to the thought about the sparrows at the end of verse 7, and he says, don't fear, you are much more valuable than sparrows. And the point is if God cares for sparrows, which are so sort of mundane and invaluable, if he has that level of care for them, how much more valuable are you? And how much more will he care for you? Because you are made in his image, because his son died for you and for me. So the one fear that we are to have in life, which extinguishes all other fear, is the fear of God. Again, he's big enough to have power over life and death. He can handle even life's details. Now, let me speak very frankly on this as we apply Jesus' teaching. The worst thing that this virus can do to us is end our life. You know, that sounds funny, doesn't it? Because in this world, people who don't have a godly point of view, they say, no, I got to scratch and claw to keep my life. And obviously, we shouldn't be foolish with our lives. We need to take precautions. But the very worst thing that this thing can do, this virus can do, is end our physical life. But God determines my eternal destiny. And so fear of God is more important than fear of anything in this world. Fear him, depend on him for now and for eternity, and do that through Jesus Christ. There's a scripture that says that Jesus has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, 2 Timothy 1, 9, and 10. And so Jesus has abolished death. He's taken away the fear of death. And so I fear God because he's the one who offers me eternal life. And so I pray that you are trusting in him today. Let's move on now to our second mindset. And to get ready for that scripture, which would be verses 22 through 28, Lindsay Shoemaker is going to read for us.
And he said to his disciples, for this reason I say to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds! And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a little thing, why do you worry about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith?
All right, thanks, Lindsay. Here's the second mindset. Fear and anxiety dissolve when I consider God's care for his creation. Now, in verses 22 through 28, we see that there's a command given multiple times. It's do not worry. It's given over and over again. And so Jesus is really emphasizing that we're not to worry. Now, think about this. Most of us just sort of accept worry as sort of an acceptable sin. We don't talk about it. But with Jesus' authority, he commands us, don't worry. So when we do worry, we are disobeying a command of Jesus. And so therefore, to worry is to sin. It's to be out of God's will for our lives. A few years ago, I preached on worry, and I came up with this biblical definition based on my study, and I wrote it down like this. Worry is forgetting that God loves me. Worry is forgetting that God loves me. When I start worrying, I forget there's a God who has my best interest in mind. He's created me and has committed to taking care of me. And so I start looking for help from other sources besides the God who is promised to take care of me. So the command here is do not keep worrying, verse 22. Another way to put it is Jesus is saying stop worrying. Stop worrying about what? Well, about your life, what you'll eat and drink and what you will put on for clothing. Why? He says, because life is more than food. Life is more than clothing. You know, it's really easy for us to fall into the trap of, like it says in Colossians 3:2, of setting our minds on things on the earth. It's really easy to just focus in on the here and the now, where we become fixated on earthly matters. At its core, worry is misdirected worship. Another word for that is idolatry. Because we're looking to other sources to meet our needs. We're looking to ourselves. We're forgetting that God loves us. And so we have to be very careful not to fall into the trap of worry. You think about these words. These words of Jesus are even more impactful when we understand his audience, his original audience to whom he was speaking. Most of the people to whom Jesus was speaking were the humble poor. For them, concern about their daily bread really was a concern. It was survival. And so they really were concerned and worried about their daily food. Where is it going to come from? I'm reminded of the Lord's Prayer. And for people like the people in Jesus' day, give us this day our daily bread was a real prayer. I mean, that came from the soul. Lord, you got a supply for me today. And now also consider this, that Jesus himself lived in moment by moment dependence upon God for food and shelter. During his ministry, he did not have a house that he stayed in terms of a house that he owned. He went from place to place. He depended upon God's provision for food and for shelter and for his basic needs. So Jesus is speaking to us about what he's experienced, about trusting God moment by moment, trusting the Father. So there's another command here as we think about considering God's care for his creation. Verse 24 and 27, we are commanded to consider. The word consider means to think about this carefully, to give this deep thought. So what Jesus does is he redirects our thinking away from worrying to pondering God's providence. The word providence, or the theological teaching about providence, is that God has created everything, and he's also committed to preserving his creation through his intricate details and intimate involvement in our lives. And so he doesn't just create things and step away, but by his providence, he's involved in our lives. And so Jesus directs us to that. And he does this in an awesome way. Now, I have PowerPoint for my sermons, but when Jesus was out speaking in the countryside, he was pointing at things for his PowerPoint. And so he uses three illustrations. First of all, the ravens. He says, consider how the ravens are fed. You ever thought about that? He says, they don't sow, they don't reap, they don't store away in barns, but your heavenly Father continually feeds them. That's how the word could be translated. He continually feeds them. They never go without. God provides for the ravens. Now, what makes his teaching here even more impactful, as I learned this week, is that a raven, under Jewish law, was an unclean bird. Israelites were not to eat ravens for food. And yet, God is feeding this detestable bird because he cares for his creation. The point is here is this. If God gives daily meals and shelter to unclean birds, he will certainly care for you because you are of great value to him. That's the point. Consider, think about this, God taking care of the birds. A second illustration is this. Consider how the lilies of the field are growing. They're not working hard. They're not spinning yarn. They're not breaking a sweat to clothe themselves. And yet Jesus says not even Solomon in all his glory was clothed like one of these. Now who's Solomon? Solomon was a famous Israelite king. He's the richest man who ever lived. Solomon lived in great splendor. The Bible says in 1 Kings 9 that Solomon had an ivory throne that was overlaid with refined gold. I'm not sure where you're watching this, if you're at home on a couch or sitting somewhere on a chair, but can you imagine sitting on an ivory throne overlaid with refined gold? In fact, in Solomon's days, the Bible says that silver wasn't even considered valuable in his day because there was so much gold. That's how splendorous Solomon's kingdom was. But Jesus is saying, not even Solomon can hold a candle to how beautifully dressed these flowers are. Flowers are beautiful. They have creatively shaped petals. When they open up, they form a beautiful formation. Flowers explode with colors, red and purple and yellow and white and orange. But here's the point. Flowers don't clothe themselves. God clothes them. And he says, if this is how God clothes these wildflowers, which is eventually gets used for fuel to start fires, if he's that extravagantly involved in clothing those flowers, how much more will he clothe you? And then we get this rebuke from Jesus, you people of little faith. Oh man, Jesus is so right. Sometimes we can get out there worrying about so many different things, forgetting that God loves us, forgetting his providence in our lives, and we don't exercise faith that God will take care of us. So what we're called to today in our day and age, with everything going on right now in our society, in our nation, in our world, we're called to look beyond ourselves. To look beyond family, to look beyond our employer, to look beyond the government, to look to God as our provider, because he has committed to caring for his creation and especially caring for those who are his children by faith in Jesus Christ. So let's take those worries that we have, let's replace them with the worship of the one true God who loves us and cares for us daily. I also think this is a test for the church, our church and all churches. God's church is called to exercise faith at this time, not panic, not worry, not fear. We are to be a witness to the world by how we trust God in the midst of this, and we'll see his hand come through for us. So the first illustration is ravens, the second is lilies, and next time you're out on a walk and you see a bird or you see a flower, let this remind you of Jesus' teaching. God takes care of those, he'll take care of us because we're much more valuable than they. The third illustration is about how long we will live. This is verse 25. Scripture says here, you can't add a single hour to your life by worrying. A literal translation of that would be, you can't add a cubit to your height by worrying. A cubit was a form of measure from the elbow to the top of that middle finger, about 18 inches or so. It was just used for a measurement. And what Jesus is saying, you can't add any more height to your body. You can't add any more span to your life by worrying. That's not your department. And so don't worry about that, and don't worry about other things, because I will take care of you. What this says to us is Jesus is saying, you're not in control. There's certain things in life that you cannot control, but God is in control of those things. And so he may say to us, stay in your lane. Be responsible for what you're responsible for. What's not in your lane, let God take care of it. And because he's a good God, you are valuable to him. He will take care of you. You know, there are many real problems in our lives. It goes for today. There's real problems that you're facing right now. But do you know, among all the problems that we have, there is one problem that humanity has that ought to cause us to worry. And the problem is this, the problem is sin. Sin, our disobedience to God, our sin natures, which is opposed to God, sin separates us from God. Sin destroys us. It kills. It deserves death. It deserves God's punishment. That's why Jesus says, fear God who can cast into hell. But you know what the Bible says? Romans 8:32 is an example. God, who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? And so if God didn't spare his own son to redeem us out of sin, to buy us out of that death penalty, wow, he'll give us everything else that we need. And so God sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins, to be raised again from the dead. And he took care of our biggest worry, which is being cast into hell because of our sin. If he took care of that through his death and through his resurrection, won't he take care of our other worries? That frees us up, right? We know that God has taken care of my biggest worry. I know then he will take care of everything else that I need based on his care in my life. So I don't know where you're at spiritually, but I just wonder, are you worried about where you will spend eternity? Are you worried about where you will go after you die? I have great news for you today. That worry can be laid to rest if you will put your trust in Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life on your behalf, who went to the cross and died the death penalty for your sin before God, and then was raised again from the dead to prove that everything he said was true and to prove that his offer of eternal life was guaranteed. And if you put your trust in him, calling upon him by faith and saying, Jesus, save me from my sins, and if you'll begin to follow him, he will come into your life and he'll take away that death penalty. He'll take care of that biggest worry that you have. If that's something that you do today, if that's something you want more information about, please ask a Christian friend or please let us know at the church. We'd love to help you. You can email us, you can call us, you can get a hold of us on Facebook or other means. We want to help you to start that relationship with Jesus Christ. So here's what we've learned so far. Fear and anxiety dissolve when I fear God alone. Also, when I consider God's care for his creation. I want you to pause. Remember those fears and concerns, anxieties I had you snuggle up with at the very beginning? I want you to take a glance over. Is that starting to dissolve? As you consider fearing God alone, as you consider how God cares for his creation and you are much more valuable than they, is that concern, that worry starting to shrink, starting to dissolve? Let's move on now to our third mindset. And we're going to have Jared read once again our remaining verses.
And do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink, and do not keep worrying, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom.
All right, thanks, Jerry. Let's move on now to this third mindset. Fear and anxiety dissolve when I seek God's kingdom first. In verse 29, we have the negative command. Do not keep seeking the things of the world, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Why? Because the nations eagerly seek all these things. Let me start that again. So, Dave, here's where you cut this out. All right, thanks, Jared. Let's take a look now at this third mindset. Fear and anxiety dissolve when I seek God's kingdom first. So verse 29, there's a negative command. Do not keep seeking what you might eat or what you might drink. Why? Well, this is what the nations eagerly seek after. This is what they're focused on. The nations is a sort of code word for godless people. In our day, we'd say, these are people who have sort of a survival of the fittest mindset. They don't believe in a God who created the world. They may not even believe in God at all. We're just sort of, you think about the sort of atheistic evolutionary thinking. We're just here trying to survive, and there's nothing after this world. And so what people can do with that particular mindset is they can just focus on the here and now. But disciples of Jesus Christ should be in great contrast to that. They trust their Creator who loves them to feed and to clothe them. And Jesus says in verse 30, your Father has known that all of you are needing these things. So the word has known means God's always known what you need. And it says he always knows that you're in continual need of these things on a daily basis. And so we're not lost on God. So now the positive command, we're to seek the kingdom and to seek it first and foremost. Notice what he says in verse 31, keep seeking his kingdom and these things will be added to you. So if we focus in on heaven, God's going to take care of the things that we need here on this earth. If you look at verse 32, he says, your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom. And so if we seek his kingdom, we put our trust in Jesus, he's going to give us that kingdom. And so we keep our eyes on the kingdom of God rather than the here and now. You know, our role as we follow Jesus is not to worry about earthly pursuits. Our role is to join him in kingdom work. That's why verse 33 and verse 34, which I'm skipping ahead just a little bit, teach us to this fact that when I set my mind on God's kingdom, I'm not trying to accumulate all that I can while I can, thinking this is my home. And by the way, the more that we accumulate in this life, the more we worry because we have to protect what we have. What Jesus is telling us to do, rather than accumulating things, he's saying we are supposed to liquidate all that I can in order to do all the good that I can for his kingdom, because his kingdom is my home, and when I sacrifice for others to know him, they also can have that kingdom mindset. And so when we live like that, we worry a lot less about what's going on in this world because we are kingdom-minded, while at the same time making an impact in the midst of the suffering that we see in this life. Let's wrap this up today. We've seen quite a bit in these three mindsets. As you direct your fear toward God, and as we consider his care for his creation, and as we seek his kingdom first, how might that dissolve our fears and our anxieties? You know, one of the things I'd love for you to do is, as a couple of next steps from this message today, I'd love for you to consider taking out your Bible this afternoon, spending a little bit more time personally in Luke 12 and these verses that we've looked at. Because I think God can speak to you, the words of Jesus can speak to you in an even deeper way as you reflect upon what you hear, what you read, and that you can have those worries and anxieties dissolved in your life. So spend some more time reflecting on this passage, maybe even memorize verse 31. But seek his kingdom, and all these things will be added unto you. Also want to encourage you to be in prayer. It reminds me of Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Prayer is a wonderful exercise. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. And so there's an answer there for our anxieties too. We can take it to God in prayer. Last question for you. So as you glance over at those fears and anxieties that you snuggled up with to listen to Jesus' words, I wonder, have they dissolved as you keep those things in perspective based on what Jesus has taught us? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I thank you for this time to consider your word, to consider how you care for your creation. And Lord, I know there are many concerns and worries. I have them too. Lots of anxieties. But God, I pray that you'd strengthen our faith as we see you work in our lives, as we turn our worship back to you, as we turn the fear to a right fear of you, and we also rejoice in the comfort that you give. So I pray for each person, Lord, that we would experience your peace as we take these concerns to you by faith in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.